A few months back, Ben said to me that he looks to the older to how to do life. I thought to myself, right, I've got a few thoughts on how to live life graciously and how to die gloriously. See? How to live and die. So life and death, how to do it. And I thought to myself, you know, I've had a vast experience of life. I'm 79 and 5 months, and I was 9 months being knitted in my mother's womb. So all in all, I've had 80-odd years of life and how to live it. So I've had a vast experience, and many of you have as well. So life and death. Let's start off with life. And I thought to myself, you know, there's a bad way to do life, and there's a good way to do life. So I thought, right, how to do life badly. Very easy, really. Very easy. We can ruin things easily. It's our old nature. It's the way we are. We were born like that. We can do life badly, very easily. We can ruin things very easily. Our old nature is ingrained. We're not taught to do wrong, but we do wrong. And I was thinking back, way, way back, when I was about 7 years old, and I got a sister, and she was a bit younger than me. We had this play box, this big trunk thing, and we put all the toys in that. And this one day, we'd been playing, all the toys were out, the box was empty, and I persuaded her to get inside the box. She did. And the bad, bad nature that nobody taught me, I put the lid down and shut her in the box, and you should have heard the screams and the howls, and it was, you know, agony. Anyway, I didn't half get it in the back of the neck. So I wasn't taught that. I just did it because I was a naughty boy and I did enjoy it, I'm sorry to say. A few weeks later, my father, who was a captain in the army, he did boxing. He rigged my sister and myself up with boxing gloves, and he put us sort of in the ring. And she had her revenge. She came in like a windmill, and her arms are flailing, and I didn't stand a chance. So she got one over me. Good for her. So, our old nature. We can ruin things easily, quite easily. King Solomon, he wrote about life, and he said, too much selfish enjoyment, he said. Meaningless, this is King Solomon. Work too hard and die rich? Meaningless, says Solomon. If you're idle and you die of boredom, double meaningless. All of us run after pleasure. And some of the pleasure is good, but many of the pleasures are bad. And then we come into addictions, and you know all about them. It's all down to the old man, the old life. Live in the shadow of evil, lies, lusts, disappointment. Don't have to tell you how to get it wrong. It's easy to get life wrong. Just let the devil lead you by the nose. But if there's a bad way, there's a good way. There's a good way to get life right. And to get life right is a gift. It's a gift. It's not something you can just spray on. It's not a holy haze. It's not a spray-on perfume. It's a gift from God. It's a gift that we can eat. That may sound a bit strange, but the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And then the Bible says, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. And then, talking about eating, in the New Testament, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. What is he talking about? He's talking about the eternal life that is in him. Not a spray on for Sunday, but an intake, an eat. Eating of the nature of Jesus, his spirit in us. Not a list of do's and don'ts, but a new internal life changing us by the Spirit of Jesus, literally making us born again. Hallelujah. That's good, isn't it? A new start, new life, born again inside. Amen. No longer walking with the devil, but a new walk with the Lord, his Spirit inside, his bread from heaven in us, the bread of heaven in us. I put down here eating is a violent thing. And if you get one of these cheese thins on the table and you try to just push that down into the little narrow gap down into your throat, you won't manage it. But the teeth are there. It's a violent thing, eating. You know, chew away until it is ready to be pushed down into that narrow gap. Jesus said that he was the door. It's a bit of a narrow sort of opening. He said, I'm the door into eternal life. And if you want eternal life, you've got to go through the door. It's a bit of a squeeze, isn't it? A bit like eating. We are to taste and see that the Lord is good. We have to eat him. We have to have his spirit within us. It's a bit of a squeeze. We have to squeeze through, push through. And I was thinking of Dovedale. I do love Dovedale. I think it's a really beautiful place, Dovedale. Been there? The river, the gorge, the stepping stones. You have to go over the stepping stones. And then you come to the entrance of the gorge, and there's two stone slabs with a very narrow opening. And you have to literally squeeze through this narrow gateway. And then you come into this beautiful gorge and tough trail. It's just wonderful with caves and everything. And it's so, so beautiful. Mark chapter 8 talks about a spiritual pushing through. If anyone, Jesus said, would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? He's saying, if you want eternal life, squeeze through that door. Deny yourself. Take up the new. Follow me, and you'll save your soul. Hallelujah. A new walk with the Lord. New desires. A pushing into God's presence. And we benefit greatly in the Lord once we are, you know, enjoying this new life, a new joy, a deep joy, presence of the Lord, a thrill of answered prayer. And, answered prayer. I love mechanical things. I love to do repairs, and I sort of pride myself that I'm quite good doing mechanical things. Sometimes mechanical things defeat me, and then I'm in trouble. Okay, so this one time, many years ago, when the family was young, I bought a mini, little mini, but it was the van. So I thought I'd be clever. I'll put in a back seat for the kids, windows either side, and some wood trim to make it into a little estate. Yeah, great, marvelous. So then I finished off every wheel arch with these little black plastic spats, you know, and I was, you know, all done in one Saturday. It was marvelous. So we piled in, we went out for the evening, and coming back, it got a bit dark. I turned the lights on, the car, and at the front, by the front windscreen on the left-hand side, smoke came. And I thought, oh no, the car's on fire. So quickly shut the lights off, and the smoke died out. Eventually, I found where the wire was burnt. I put new insulation on, but nothing worked properly on the car. Every time I drove it, the indicators might be activated by the lights, and all sorts of peculiar things were happening. And I was well and truly baffled. I could not find out where the problem was. I know a mechanic much better than me, and I know how to pray. So I thought to myself, I'm going to go to the Lord. I can't afford to take it to a garage. I'll take it to the Lord. And it was wonderful. The first week, I got nothing. Second week, I was praying, and towards the end of the week, God spoke to me very, very clearly. And God said to me exactly where the problem was. And it was at the back, not the front. It was at the back. And I put a screw through the harness by mistake. And he showed me exactly which screw it was. And I went out and said to my wife, I've got it. I've got it. God has just told me. And it was the thrill of answered prayer. Isn't that wonderful that God can speak to us and tell us what the problem is and save the day? So, yes, new life in Jesus, a new thrill, a new presence of God, the ability to pray and have your prayers answered, the thrill of answered prayer. Paul has a good take on living and dying. In 2 Corinthians, he talks about camping. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, now we know that if the earthly tent, done a lot of camping, ever since the age of around about 12, and when I married my poor wife, she had to go camping. So we know all about tents. But he says here, now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, he's talking about our bodies, of course, not a canvas one. He says, if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. So what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And then he goes on, he writes, therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, We are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due to him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So there he is talking about living, and he's talking about dying, and he's saying while we're on earth we live for the Lord, and when we die to the Lord. Down here we live in a tent, up there we will live in a house. And then he goes on, he talks about us being ambassadors for Christ. I had Ben at that time sitting in front of me. And I said to Ben, now, Ben, taught you how to live. I'm going to teach you how to die graciously. Okay, so, or gloriously. So I said to him and the whole congregation, I'm an expert on dying. I'm learning how to die. Okay. And everybody looked at me a little bit quizzically. Okay. So then I said, I'm not afraid to die. I've got a great assurance of eternal life. I know where I'm going. And then I totted up and I thought to myself, well, you know, how many times have I faced death? And I counted up the incidents in my life where I've actually faced death. Five times. So I think I'm quite expert on dying. Dying gloriously. I'm getting more practice. About 2 months ago, I had another severe bout. And I was in my bed and in agony. I felt that this was the end. And I just felt that I should not die in my bed, that I should die in hospital. So Brigitte, she phoned the doctor, and eventually I got back into hospital again, okay, for 2 days. And while I was in severe agony, I cried out to the Lord, and I cried out, I'm quite used to praying for healing and getting healing. It didn't come. I just got worse and worse and worse. Anyway, at that time, I didn't get the healing, but was God there? Was God there? And the answer is, yes, he was there. Later, when I was in hospital, that evening, I was too ill to have a full prayer time. Sometimes when we pray, we don't use words, we just use, you know, a desire. And I was too ill to pray formally, so I just lifted my heart to the Lord just for a few seconds. And then I thought I would like a reading from the Bible. So I had a little testament with me. And I was too ill to sort of sort out a reading. I just opened at random, which I don't advocate. I just opened the Bible randomly and turned to Psalm 71, and God started speaking to me. He was there. God started speaking to me. Psalm 71, it reads a bit like this, that the psalmist has seen many troubles, many and bitter. And then he has the assurance that his life will be restored again. And I thought, this is it. This is God speaking to me. I've had many troubles, many and bitter, but God knows it. And then God was speaking and saying, I will restore your life again. I thought, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Okay. And then my eyes turned to another verse that talked about being old and gray. And I thought, yes, that fits the bill. When you're old and gray, it says that you'll be able to declare to the next generation the wonderful works of God. Part of my stay at the hospital was the usual x-rays and everything. The nurse trundled me down to the x-ray room. It was full at the time, so we had to wait. God spoke to me and said to me quite clearly, speak to this nurse. Tell her you've had a wonderful life. So I said to this nurse, you know, I've had a wonderful life. And I started telling her a little bit about my life and how I'd come to find the Savior, how I'd become a pastor, and how I'd looked after a day center for the elderly and things like that, you know, and got married and had children. And I said to her, I used to be an atheist, and but I had this born-again experience. It absolutely transformed me. And I was telling her about my life, and then she told me about her life. And it was absolutely God-given moment. And in my dying experience, God was there, absolutely there. Wasn't in the way that I thought he would be, but he did restore my life. And here I am, feeling as fit as ever. And I was a testimony to the future generation. That nurse, it was absolutely God-given moment, and it was so wonderful. When I got home, eventually, my next-door neighbor had discovered me in hospital. His son was ill, and he was there because of his son. When I came out of hospital, he wanted to know how I was, and another neighbor wanted to know how I was. The upshot of it was that I was able to witness to another five or more people in our street. Wonderful opportunity. All came out of trying to die. But God didn't let me die. So God was there. God was there in my trouble, my bitter trouble, and my dying moments. How to live life. How to die. There's only one way to do it, and that's to be in the Lord. That's to be in the Lord. The best way to live is to be in the Lord, to have the newness of life, to be born again, to keep it, to pray, have the thrill of answered prayer. The best way to die is to die in the Lord. We live in a tent. It's temporary. This body is temporary. When we go to be with the Lord, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many buildings. I've got one there for you. Hallelujah. Not a tent, but a permanent one. Permanent one. An eternal house in heaven. Praise the Lord. So God bless you.